Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's great to be with you on this Friday, and I have a special program for you today. This is going to be awesome. You know, I've had people say to me, Dan, I know you believe in the salvation of all, but can't you just get along with all the church people and the people who teach an eternal torment and the Trinity and all that other stuff? Well, the answer to that question is I have no hatred or dislike for people. I love everyone, to be honest with you. I really do. But I despise the teaching about God that says he's not going to save all mankind. I think it's a denial of the true and living God. That is why I could have no part of any organization or denomination that teaches that God isn't going to save all. It's a false God. It's a false God that doesn't save all mankind. And those of you who believe in the salvation of all and donate to or take part in organizations that go by the name of Christian, and they deny the salvation of all, my question is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Well, my text today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul. This is the great resurrection chapter. In verse 33, the Apostle Paul says, "Be not deceived." Notice there's deception involved here. "Evil conversations are corrupting kind characters. Sober up justly and do not be sinning, for some have an ignorance of God. To abash you, am I saying this?" What Paul wrote here was to shame believers who took part in something. Now, stay with me here. Paul wanted to shame believers who took part in something. Well, what were they taking part in? Well, in the context here, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11, we read about the evangel of grace, that Christ died for our sins. He really died. He was entombed. He was aroused again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, most believe that Christ never actually died, and that he really didn't rise again because he never really died. This is one of the satanic influences that says that Christ never died. And there are people who say it's okay to believe that Christ never died. Shameful. Then you come to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 onward through 28. And the topic there is resurrection. Some came into Corinth and said there's no resurrection. Paul says that's not true. God is going to vivify all mankind. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 28. Christ was the first to be vivified. Thereafter, those who are Christ in his presence. Thereafter, the consummation, whenever he may giving up the kingdom to his God and Father. So all in time will be vivified. For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Not some, all. And then we come to the passage that I quoted at the beginning here. There was a quote that Paul says, "We may be eating and drinking, for tomorrow we are dying." That's the point. If there is no resurrection, let us be eating and drinking, for tomorrow we are dying. And Paul was quoting an inscription on a pedestal of a statue of a man named Sardanapalus, the founder of Tarsus, where Paul was from as a kid. Paul saw that sign on that pedestal, that saying of Sardanapalus. It was a hopeless sign. Philosophy had no resurrection. But Paul says God will vivify all. And so Paul says, be not deceived. This is the context. The context is the vivification of all, as opposed to those who say there's no resurrection. Be not deceived. Evil conversations are corrupting kind characters. What are the evil conversations? Who is deceiving here? Well, the deceiver is the one who says there's no resurrection. An evil communication could be saying that there's no resurrection for some or most. It's one who denies resurrection. And remember, the context here is the resurrection and vivification of all mankind. So what are the evil conversations in this chapter? The evil conversations are teaching that there is no resurrection, either for all or for some or for most. The evil conversations are the topic, those who say that God will not vivify all mankind. It's not good enough to say that God will vivify only some or raise only some. It's not good enough to say that God will vivify most and annihilate the rest. It's not good enough. And it's certainly not good. Actually, it's awful to teach that the dead aren't really dead, but they're alive either in heaven or in torment. All that is deception. The truth is God will vivify all. So what are the evil communications in this chapter? Again, the evil communications are the teaching that God won't vivify all mankind. And notice what it says here. Evil conversations are corrupting kind characters. In the Greek, this word kind is the word use, useful, useful characters. The no resurrection folks were corrupting useful characters. Now, this word character is the word that means what is usual or custom. So resurrection is the power for service. To say there is no resurrection is to corrupt useful characters. People who were characterized for being useful, kind characters, useful characters, are being corrupted by the teaching that there is no resurrection. Why is that? If you go down at the end of this chapter, Paul says this in verse 58. This is how Paul sums up the resurrection chapter. So that, my beloved brethren, become settled, unmovable, superabounding in the work of the Lord, always being aware that your toil is not for naught in the Lord. So the whole point of this chapter is to get us to the point where we know we serve God, we superabound in the work of the Lord, we become settled because we know, we are aware that our toil is not for naught. Why? Because we know that God will vivify not only us, but all. We realize that this life isn't all there is. And those who came in and said there is no resurrection were making the Corinthians unsettled and movable, and they were drawing them away from the work of the Lord. But the power for service is the knowledge of the vivification, not only of us believers, but of all mankind. That makes us serve God better. And so somebody came in deceiving. They had evil conversations. Now some, and it's amazing how religion takes things out of context, makes this evil conversations that aren't that don't follow the customs of the day or the moralities of the day or the sensitivities of the day. This evil conversations has nothing to do with being uncouth or not being civilized. I grew up in a household where I could never put my elbows on the table at dinner. I could never slurp. I could never chew with my mouth open. And if I ever did any bodily noises out of either end, it was considered evil. That's a custom. That's not sin. One of my best friends is Korean. And I remember the first day I went to his house for dinner. They sat with their elbows on the table. They slurped their food and they burped at the table. Those are customs. That is not what Paul is talking about here, evil conversations. I know in my father's world where his friends came over and played poker and they said four-letter words. That is not the evil conversations Paul is talking about here. Some people use phraseology that others don't like. That is not what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 15. We mess with scriptures when we add to them our own peculiarities, our own taste. When Paul says, be not deceived, evil conversations are corrupting kind characters. He is not talking about things that you don't like because you have certain standards or taste. The evil conversations here are those who say there's no resurrection. They corrupt useful characters. And notice what else this says. Sober up justly and do not be sinning. He's telling the Corinthians this. Sober up, wake up justly. Notice it's justice involved here. And be not sinning. The word is missing the mark. It's unjust. What Paul is saying here is that it's unjust to listen or to entertain such a thought that God will not vivify all. And yet some of you listening to the sound of my voice, you go to an organization where they have an unscriptural position of a pastor. And that pastor, you listen to this man who doesn't believe that God will vivify all. God is saying you're sinning. God is saying you are sinning. You are missing the mark. You are not being just when you sit there and support someone who says that God is not going to vivify all. You are sinning. To be part of any organization that goes by the name of Christ that doesn't say God will vivify all is to sin. You are entertaining thoughts. You are allowing error in, the bad error here that Paul is talking about, that there is no resurrection, either for some or all. And Paul is saying here, you're sinning. Sober up justly. He's saying, sober up, wake up, and do not be sinning. For some have an ignorance of God. To say that God will not vivify all is ignorance. It's a false God. This is how serious we are about the salvation of all. God is going to vivify all, and Paul is telling us here, he's not telling us to stay away from people who wear leather and listen to heavy metal music, or who drink beer, or who don't follow your particular middle upper class customs. He says, you do not be deceived. Evil conversations, those who say that God will not vivify all, are only corrupting those who are normally useful people. Why? Because resurrection and vivification, the knowledge of that is the power for our service to God now. So wake up, sober up. You've been drunk by listening to these people. Sober up justly. You're being unjust for entertaining such a thought that God will not vivify all. You're missing the mark by entertaining such a thought because you are listening to those who are ignorant of God. And Paul says to abash you. Am I saying it? If you entertain, if you listen to, or you support any organization that doesn't believe God will vivify all mankind, that God is the Savior of all mankind, you are missing the mark and being unjust. So Paul is telling you, you who are listening to, entertaining any thought that says God will not save all, he's telling you, you out there who are going to an organized church, to organized religion, if you're a believer in the salvation of all and Paul's evangel and you're attending church, you know what Paul is telling you here? Stop being deceived, wake up, you're drunk, act justly, and stop missing the mark. He's telling you to get out of that. If you're entertaining anyone who is saying that God isn't the Savior of all, Paul says you're missing the mark and stop it. He says, stop sinning. Stop missing the mark. In the context here, that means you better get out of that or you're missing the mark because the person you're listening to is ignorant of God. It's a false God. Paul wants you to feel shame, to abash you, I'm saying it. So what are you going to do? And you know what the sad thing is? There are some people who are more concerned about their tastes. They're more concerned about four-letter words. They're more concerned about externals than the honor of God. That is the sad thing. Some people are more concerned about things that God doesn't even call sin, yet modern society does. Some people are more concerned with those things than they are with the honor of God. That is sad. Some of you would rather associate with those who dishonor God because they're nice than you would associate with those who believe and give their lives for this message. Some of you would rather associate with deceivers because they dress nice, they look nice, and they speak proper over those who are out on the front lines getting this message out, and they may not talk like you do. You're more interested in personalities than you are the honor of God. Sad thing, very sad. No, I didn't accuse you of being unsaved or not justified. I'm only going by Paul's words here. The greatest news of all is that death will be abolished. The last enemy is being abolished, death. That even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Believe it, and don't be deceived. Those who teach otherwise are corrupting useful characters. This is Dan Sheridan, bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace that we serve a God who will vivify all mankind. Have a great weekend.